Ken Rudin, thanks so much for taking the time to talk.
Thanks, Elise.
What are you noticing about Colorado politics right now? What stands out most?
Well, I think what stands out most is that in the battle for the Senate in 2014, all the focus all along has been on the states that Obama lost in 2012, states like South Dakota and Montana and North Carolina and Louisiana and, you know, states like that, where Democrats are running scared. And the Republicans hope to win at least a net gain of six seats, so they can take control of the Senate. But Colorado is not one of those states. Colorado is a, I'm not going to call it a blue state, it's certainly a purple state, but it is a state President Obama won in 2012 as well as 2008. And yet that's one of those Obama states that could determine who controls the Senate. And Colorado and Mark Udall never thought they'd be in that position.
What happened with Mark Udall that he could become this vulnerable?
Well, I'm not sure if it's anything that he did wrong. Part of it is Obama's numbers, just as George W. Bush was an albatross for Republicans in 2006 and, of course, 2008. Obama is bringing down a lot of Democratic candidates, or has the potential of bringing down a lot of Democratic candidates in red states, like the ones I mentioned earlier, and kind of marginal states like Colorado. Plus, the fact is that Republicans have a knack of eating their own. And so in the primaries, the Tea Party will battle the establishment. And sometimes the fight will be so ugly, the nominee is so badly wounded, they lose in November. We saw that with Ken Buck in 2010, a seat that the Republicans thought they should win. And a big Republican year like 2010, and Buck lost because of mistakes he made and because the party was split. Cory Gardner managed to bypass that. Whether he elbowed others out the way, but the point is a lot of people left the race. The Tea Party folks and the establishment folks are behind him, and that's good news for the Republicans if they hope to pick up that seat.
What significance does the governor's race have?
Well, nothing nationally, except for the fact that there is a interesting approach that Governor Hickenlooper has taken. He's, from the beginning, he's been a centrist, he's been a consensus builder, he's not one of those ideologues on the right or left. There are many Democrats who are trying to learn that lesson nationwide, and given the fact, and this is all one sentence, by the way, and given the fact that the public is so fed up with Congress and the inability to get anything done in Washington, Hickenlooper is the kind of governor, for better or for worse, is the kind of guy who can push things through the legislature, work with the legislature of both parties, and whether he succeeds all the time or not is not important. The fact is that things do get done at the state level.
And yet, at the same time, he may be more vulnerable in this race because a lot of Democrats are really disillusioned with feeling that he hasn't done enough to protect environmental and health interests with regards to fracking.
Well, I mean, look, fracking is a huge issue nationwide, and perhaps nowhere more so than Colorado, which has a tremendous energy development wing of politics and a strong environmental wing of politics, and they ultimately have to clash. And when you're a governor, you're put in the middle of that. So plus the fact, as a Democrat, you're especially vulnerable because on the Republican side, there is not really an environmental wing that's pushing the party to the left. But there certainly is on the Democratic side, and there certainly is in Colorado. So whenever, you know, you might say that Governor Hickenlooper and Senator Udall may oppose these anti-fracking measures because that's not the way to go, there's a strong environmental wing out there that says, wait a second, this is what we believe in. This is why we elected you in 2010. And if you want us to be energized and come out and vote in 2014, you got to be on our side. And that's the kind of dilemma Democrats like Hickenlooper find themselves in.
And which, in a way, brings us to Congressman Jared Polis.
Well, I mean, there are some people, both on the right and the left, and the Democratic and the Republican Party, who, I don't know if you want to say ideology is more important than party loyalty, but there are some people who feel that, look, this is what I was elected to do, this is what I believe in, and I'm just not going to kowtow to the party elite or the party bosses, whatever that means, to change my views. So for the longest time, one, Polis was pushing these anti-fracking measures to get on the ballot. He was bankrolling them. Two, he knew that Democrats were not happy with it because you didn't want to put the Democratic Party to have in a position, people like Udall and Hickenlooper, in a position to have to decide what to do. And of course, you back these anti-fracking measures, you alienate the energy lobby, the energy industry, then you know they're going to come out with millions of dollars of ads in the fall campaign, and it would also unite, energize Republican voters. So that's the kind of thing that Polis kind of did by pushing these measures on the ballot. And then, lo and behold, Hickenlooper works out this deal where it's off the ballot, it saves the Democrats from this battle of having to decide, and Polis goes along with it. I think Polis did it for obvious reasons, but the fact that he so welcomed this, seemed to so welcome this compromise, that you wonder how you could switch sides so quickly or switch faces so quickly.
Ken Rudin, thanks for taking the time to talk.
Well, yeah, I'm still talking. I have much more to talk about. Okay, thanks, Elise.